Welcome to the Blog A podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals in the business of creating online media and promotional tips that will help you succeed in generating buzz online. I'm your host, Mayanna Stevenson, and the creator of BlogAid. Be sure to check out the website at blogaid.net for more podcasts, free downloads, video tutorials, WordPress training, and site consulting. We hope you enjoy this podcast and feel free to share it with your friends. Hello, I'm Mayanna with BlogAid, and I'm delighted to have one of my favorite guests back on the podcast today, Carolyn Howard Johnson, and we're going to chat more in depth about her latest book, The Frugal Book Promoter, How to Get Nearly Free Publicity on Your Own or by Partnering with Your Publisher. Let me give you a little background on Carolyn, and you'll understand why she has the expertise to speak on this topic and why authors, bloggers, and folks who promote anything online should listen to this podcast. Carolyn Howard Johnson's several careers prepared her for promoting her own books and those of others. She was the youngest person ever hired as a staff writer for the Salt Lake Tribune, which is a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper, and there she gained insight into the needs of editors. Later in New York, she was an editorial assistant at Good Housekeeping magazine. She also handled accounts for fashion publicist Eleanor Lambert, who instituted the first 10 best dress list, and she wrote media releases for celebrity designers of the day, including Christian Dior. She has also worked as a columnist, reviewer, and staff writer for the Pasadena Star News, Home Decor Buyer, and the Glendale News Press, which is an affiliate of the LA Times, and has appeared in commercials and on dozens of TV and radio shows. She learned marketing skills both in college and as a founder and operator of a chain of retail stores with 30 years of experience. Carolyn's experience in journalism and as a poet and author of fiction and nonfiction helped her become a multi-award-winning author and understand how different genres can be marketed more effectively. She's been an instructor for the UCLA Extension's renowned writers program since 2003. Carolyn has turned her knowledge toward helping other writers with her How to Do It Frugally series of books for writers, and her own marketing campaigns are so effective that the second book in that series, The Frugal Editor, won the New Generation Indie Book Award. She also has a multi-award-winning series of How to Do It Frugally books for retailers. And the book we're going to dive in today shot to the top of Amazon the week before its official release date. Carolyn, I'm so glad to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, as always, Mayanna.
I know, we have the best fun chatting, don't we?
We do. Well, Before, after, during.
I know, absolutely. And I'm telling you, we've already talked about this book once on a podcast, but it has so much wonderful information that we just barely scratched the surface. So today I want to go more in depth on some of the sections you explained in the second edition about online promotion and creating ebooks, because ebooks are not just for authors anymore, and they're a powerful promotional tool for lots of folks who have online businesses.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, this is a new edition of the Frugal Book Promoter. It's expanded by more than 100 pages. So naturally, that the first was published in 2004, so this has a lot more in it on things like ebooks.
It really does.
Because we've just learned so much more about the possibilities for all kinds of digital and online promotion devices or techniques.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to go real heavy into section four, because and I can't possibly improve on what's in this book by paraphrasing, so I'm literally going to read a few snippets for us to discuss, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely.
So section four is titled Promote Your Book by Doing What You Love. And you say this section of the Frugal Book Promoter is good medicine. It's good for those who think they don't like to promote but do love writing, because a good portion of book promotion is writing, and you'll learn to love some things you didn't think you could.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? So many authors really believe that they're going to hate marketing, that marketing doesn't fit with what they're going to do. So many retailers think that they don't have time for it, and that it also isn't their expertise. They need to concentrate on all kinds of things like hiring and buying merchandise for their stores and on and on and on. And then once they start marketing, it's almost like a hobby. It's a challenge, and it builds on itself, and it becomes lots of fun.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great way to interact directly with your audience too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, I think right there you hit the nugget of effective marketing, is that it really is about personal relationships, about trying to help people. And too many people think of it as selling, and too many other people think that selling means making people who don't want your stuff buy your stuff. And that isn't it at all. The idea is to find people who will benefit from your stuff, whatever it happens to be, and make them see the benefits and then reap the joy of having helped them in some way do better in their business. So, or personally, depending on the product. So, absolutely, it's one-on-one, it's personal, it's knowing who our audience is, and it's perseverance.
Absolutely, and one of the things I was fascinated about, even with books and carvings and all the different kinds of things I do, is how many people want to know what it's like to do what you do.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think I'd thought of it quite that way, but certainly that's especially true of authors. But it was also true when I was in retail, and people would come in and say, I just love to have a little gift shop like this. And I would sort of mentally roll my eyes like, this isn't all fun and games, you know. But it is also all fun and games. It depends on your viewpoint, but it's still a business. We still have to operate like a business.
Right, and when you sit down to write something, you know, you don't think that much of it, what your daily routine is and what it's like to market and to contact publishers or to contact other people, to be a guest blogger, or all the different facets of what you do. But other people really enjoy hearing about your journey and what your day-to-day life is like.
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, now you mention it, I don't think it is even in my A Retailer's Guide to Frugal In-Store Promotions. But I recall once one of my most successful events for my stores was one where we offered backroom guide through you know what we did to bring our gorgeous merchandise like Yadro and Waterford Crystal and Heron porcelain to the front of the store, you know, the shipping and the receiving and the storing and the way we filed stuff. We took them on a tour of that back room and they just adored it. That's something that most people had never done, and many had no idea of what it would be like.
I think that's extremely valuable, to see the inside of a business, no matter what kind of business, even if it's an online business, all the different kinds of things that you go through as a business owner, and just maybe telling about your story, your experiences, and how much that helps other people to see the inside of it.
Absolutely. And you know, the more connected they feel to the store, then the more loyal customer they are.
Mm-hmm. Even if that's a total, just an online store. Yeah. And to an author or to anybody who's an expert at what they do and they use online promotion for it, you know, the website becomes their store. And they feel a personal relationship and connected to somebody if they can get some help from them that way too.
Yeah, you know, the same thing is true of writing. So many people go about writing a how-to book or a business book or any kind really of nonfiction, and they suddenly get very serious and very texty because that's what they read when they were in high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that's a huge mistake, that people don't connect to textbooks. They connect to people. So even nonfiction should be written with a voice. And some personality should shine through, and that too then makes people very loyal to the author, so that they're more interested then in trying one of their other books. It's not just the information; it's the same thing that causes them to go back and read Nora Roberts' books over and over again. They come to realize that they like something about her books. Even though they may not realize quite what it is they like so much, they want more of it. And that can actually happen with nonfiction books, too.
Well, Carolyn, it happens with yours. I mean, we can take yours as an example, because when I read your books and you're telling me how to do this and why I might want to, I feel like you're talking to me.
Well,
it's not,
I am.
Yeah, I mean, really, like you wrote this book to give friendly advice to someone that you care about, that they succeed. And your books have that kind of voice, and that's why people are so loyal to you.
And that's why if you're in the business world, one of the techniques for achieving that is to actually picture one of your customers or one of your friends and write the newsletter or whatever, or the marketing material or the ad material, whatever it is you're doing, as if you're reaching out to them individually. And generally, you don't get all Latinate. You don't get all big words and five-syllable words and and very, very formal constructions. What you do is you talk the way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just watching TV, and one of the Nutrisystems ads had one of the old football stars on, and he was just adorable. His little southern accent shines through a little bit, and he says, "And you got to get curdy like me, you know." And you don't mind seeing that ad twice,
right?
Because you connect to him,
and he has personality, and he's talking to you.
Absolutely, and you believe him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing to do: have that sort of voice in the material that you write too,
right.
So that you feel like you're connecting with someone because you feel like you're talking to someone while you're doing it. And when they read it, they have that same sensation like they're being spoken to.
Yes, and that back to your ebook thing, ebooks too. Most ebooks people want, especially if they're nonfiction, people want real serious practical tips, bulleted if possible. But at the same time, they can still be told in a colloquial voice. A few anecdotes can be thrown in so that they remember what it is you're telling them a little bit better. They understand better the points that you're trying to make. All the stuff that you do in conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And besides that, ebooks, you know, they're not counting pages here. You've got a little bit more space. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go back and tighten up your writing if you're going to do an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
But you have room for some anecdotes so that people learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like a classroom. You have, you know, if it takes a few additional pages, so what? No one will notice.
That's right.
It's just more value for less money.
Right, and ebooks open that up because you don't have that printing cost. And so it really makes a lot of difference in the flexibility you have for the size of book that you can put out. With an ebook, you can put out one that is exactly the size it needs to be to cover the topic that you want to share.
Yeah, and one of the exciting things about ebooks, I'm trying to talk my husband into doing this. He's writing a book called Everything Foreigners Need to Know About America A to Z, which he got inspired to do because we travel so much and we're always getting so many questions about America, and often the questions you can tell are based on inaccuracies. And so he's written this tome. It's a regular darn doorstop. And that's fine, but it's going to have to cost a lot in paperback. And I think people will be willing to pay it because it's just so stuffed with great stuff. But I'm trying to talk him into breaking it down into individual sections based on his chapters. So there would be one on language, on accent reduction, and one on table manners and business manners, and another one on how to open a business. So they aren't all in one volume. So then people can pick and choose. And it brings the price down to, you know, more of a reasonable book price.
Well, you know, something I thought about with Amazon, you know, this pricing game that people have been playing with, bringing a book down to $2.99 as an introduction, or even 99 cents as an introduction. And my thought on that was, then write $2.99 books. You know, write a whole book, break it out into a series, and have every one of them be $2.99, because you could sell 5 $2.99 books, but you can't sell one $15 book.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I did with a couple of my little booklets, and I intend to do more of those. One is the Great Impression Book Proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just on book proposals. And in paperback, it has to be $6.95, but I think it's $2.95 or $3.95 on as an ebook.
Right.
And another one is a little book on word trippers, and they're kind of the most common errors, but not so common like there, and 2-2-2, the ones
mm-hmm.
that are sometimes mistyped just because we aren't thinking.
Right.
But the ones that come up among my clients all the time, And I think it's a little 36-page mm-hmm. book, and again, the same price, $6.95 mm-hmm. And $2.99, I think. Mm-hmm. Not sure. Don't hold me to the prices, but I think that's a fun way to do it, because some people see a big book and they don't think they've got time to read it,
mm-hmm.
Or they think that their knowledge level is beyond that they've moved beyond needing an entire book on X. So if you have little booklets out there, they latch onto a specific subject that they know they need to know more about.
Right, and I think something that people forget about this and get greedy about, no, I want a better percentage with a $6 or $7 book or whatever, and it's like, think about this. If this is something that you're using to build your expertise, because having a book of any kind makes you a little more of an authority than someone who doesn't have a book. It's not that it's true, it's just the perception that people have.
Absolutely.
If you've written a book,
absolutely,
if you've published a book, you're more of an authority. Okay, so, but here's the other value that people don't see in this. You have the opportunity to promote more books, which gives you a bigger footprint online as well. So you're known for all these different topics because you can promote each individual title.
Yeah, you look more like an expert with a few books out there than only one. I'm not diminishing having only one by any means, even one sold in your store or
right
at the back of the room when you speak, or to put on your counter at your little health food store or your therapy place where you do acupuncture or where
mm-hmm.
whatever is going to make you look more like an expert, more trustworthy.
Right, and it totally depends on what you need to do with it and if you're going to have a print version to give out and if you need to tell a whole story all at one time for somebody to be successful. So it really does matter what you do with it. I know there's one online business that I follow called HubSpot, and they have, I don't know, it's probably 15 or so ebooks, and they're all very specific on one topic. But if you put them all together in one big book, it's the whole story of how to be successful online with inbound marketing. And
yeah,
so, but people aren't going to read it that way, and they can constantly advertise all, each individual title that says, if you do this one thing, and as busy as people are these days, sometimes just focusing on one thing on a book that's only maybe 20 pages is really all they have time to do. And if you give them a great big book like that, they just never finish it.
Uh-huh. And, you've used the word term give a couple of times. There's no greater gift of yourself than to give out books.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a business, and even if it isn't your own business, if you work for someone else, you give out books at Christmas time or for people's birthdays or whatever, it's giving of yourself, and it's memorable, and at the same time it increases your credibility as someone to trust. So people who sometimes publish and don't try to sell their books at all, just give them.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all.
Right, and in the book you talk about...
In that case, paper is far more exciting than an e-book.
Absolutely. It feels like a tangible gift. Absolutely. But
yeah, and my favorite place to do that easily is with createspace.com, because you can upload a book that can be printed as a paperback digitally for online as gifts, or can be an ebook all in one fell swoop, and it's absolutely
wow
free except for the price that you pay them per book.
Right, because you have to pay for printing. I mean, it's a physical product.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, you pay for your books, but you don't pay for upload. There's a template for your covers so that you can get decent covers. So I've been using those for that createspace.com for all of my how-to books. I don't use it for my poetry. Well, I take it back. I do even use it for some of my poetry books, the small ones, the chat books. But I've been using it certainly for all my how-to books. For one thing, because I also market my own books, I don't really need a publisher, and I'd really rather make all the profit myself. Mm-hmm. So I find it far more profitable to do it that way than
right.
than to have a traditional publisher do it. Now, I think fiction and short stories, novels, novellas, etc., are generally speaking an entirely different proposition.
Right.
But that goes along with my whole idea that there is a right way to publish. Luckily now, I mean, we're so fortunate for every single author and every single title. So there's no one way fits all situation for authors these days. Anyone who wants to write can find the right way to publish.
I think that's fantastic.
We're not, you know, Mayanna, it's so nice. We're not at the mercy of an agent or someone else. If things
right.
don't work out one way, we can go in another direction, and we can still reach our dream.
Absolutely. I just think it's an exciting time to be an author of any kind, whether that's you want to make your living as an author or if you want to have a book to promote your expertise or do as gifts, whatever it is that you want to do with it, there's so many avenues for you now.
Yes.
One of the things you talk about in The Frugal Book Promoter is ways to use an ebook as giveaways too. You can write a white paper as something to give away, or maybe as what we call an ethical bribe. You know, for your newsletter. That's what they're called. They're called ethical bribes.
Ethical bribes, absolutely. I love
for your newsletter as a giveaway to entice people to give you their email address so that you can constantly put yourself, your offers and what you're doing in front of them. And you cover all of that in The Frugal Book Promoter, too, about different ways that you can use that.
Yes. And another thing you can do, if you foresee some high expenses in terms of publishing or marketing your book, and you have a large audience, you can do what I did just to show people, if for no other reason than to show people that they could do that, and that is put actually sell ads for the back matter of your book.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for The Frugal Book Promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, well, didn't you feel guilty doing that? No, I didn't, because what I asked my advertisers to do is give a percentage off or give something free if people order or do something of value added to the book. So
mm-hmm.
when people have read the book and they get to the back matter, there are four or five ads back there. Well, they're not going to feel put on because these are all things they need. They're all related to the matter in the book itself. Plus, they're getting something additional that's probably going to be worth more than what they paid for the book, you know.
Right.
So where's the problem in that? You know, no,
well, now
no
let's,
problem.
Let's talk about your launch, because you did something like that as well to help with the launch. That you have people come together to give value-added things to it.
Right. I had Denise. You know, I'm a big do-it-yourself person, but these online launches are a little animal all of their own. And I have a friend who is very, very good at it. Her name's Denise Cassino, and she does this as a business. So I asked her if she would help me with this, and it became a learning project for me. So I learned from it as well as got the original launch out of it. And what you do is you ask other people in the same field as your book covers to offer bonuses. Again, ebooks, white papers, or entire books if they want to get more readership for a novel or whatever. And you offer those as bonuses when people buy your book.
Mm-hmm.
And that does a couple things. It keeps you from discounting, which also sometimes diminishes the value of your book if you're discounting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives them all this extra stuff. And it allows people who offer the bonuses all this additional exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people that I offered this to and actually took advantage of the offer got introduced to these authors. And I was very lucky. Denise offered something. One of my author friends, Alan Evans, offered something. Dan Pointer did. Kathleen Gage. I mean,
you had some big people in there.
Really, really big names in the industry offer the authors who would be interested in that book some really good material. And I'm repeating that for the launch of the same book on Kindle this month, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a must-buy. Just because the material in your book is so good anyway, it's a must-buy. But on top of that, when you get all this value-added stuff, it's absolutely irresistible.
Yes, yes. And why not get the most? Somebody will say, well, oh, I need one more thing to read, like I need a hole in my head. Well, you download it and you save it, you know?
Well,
the minute will come where you're going to need to know about book tours from Denise Cassino if
right.
you're an author, right?
Right.
So if you don't need it right now, doesn't mean you won't need it in 6 months.
Well, and the other thing about that is everybody gets a good out of it because everybody is promoting it. And so
yeah.
you've got all these folks with all this audience who've cross-promoting for this, and everybody gets the benefit. I mean, when I get approached to sponsor things, I jump on it immediately.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy not to, because I'm going to get more audience than what it would cost me to whatever the thing is I'm giving. You know, that's advertising. And it's a lot cheaper to do that way and get, it's almost like word of mouth endorsement type thing, which is gold.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that brings us up back to this idea of doing things with heart, whether it's the voice that we use in writing the book, but it's also the idea of doing things with heart with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major tenets of marketing is being generous.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand there are times when you're just too busy to handle one more thing on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody asks you to do some little thing that will help them market
mm-hmm.
their
mm-hmm.
ebook. Like you, Mayanna, you jump on it. And yes, it's the giving thing to do, but it's also Zen. It comes back to you a hundredfold eventually.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to talk about one specific thing that you called out in your book, an example of generosity and teaming up with other people and partnering with this thing and everybody getting the good out of it. And it was such a neat idea. Kathleen Walls, she asked more than 24 authors from several countries to contribute to an ebook that would be given away, and it was titled Cooking by the Book. And authors who had at least one kitchen scene in their books were invited to submit. That's
yes,
just
that
fabulous.
Fun. Isn't that fun? And it's a really good example of how fiction writers or even poetry writers can promote. And in that, I participated in that book too. And that was like years ago when my novel was first published. And it was such a great networking experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I was new. It was the first book I'd published. Every single one of those authors became contacts that I could work with eventually. Most of them were fiction writers, although we had one nonfiction writer who participated. I can't remember exactly how his book had something to do with food, but it did. And it was one of the most long-lasting promotions I ever did, because every year, I haven't done it the last couple of years, but every year we were able to give away Cooking by the Book one more time.
Wow.
I mean, every Mother's Day comes up every year, right?
That is just so fantastic. What a novel idea.
Yeah, it was, and I break that down in the Frugal Book Promoter very carefully
mm-hmm.
for people, so they can see exactly all the marketing possibilities for it. So it's not
mm-hmm.
just saying, well, none of my book just says do it. But it really gives you, it's the anatomy of a promotional ebook, and in this case, one that worked for fiction writers, so that fiction writers can actually see how things work for them, because they tend to have a bit of an inferiority complex about that, and one can hardly blame them, because they've been told so many times that marketing doesn't work for fiction, and of course that's ridiculous. Of course it does. We who write fiction and poetry have to work a little harder at it, but we can definitely do it.
Right, and let's talk about blogging, because that's another thing that, like marketing, people just fear it, or they don't see the point of it, or they're totally misunderstand how it's done and why you should write for free. And a couple of things, because people just cringe at the whole idea of write for free.
Yeah.
You know, and write it all. I'm going to write more words in this marketing that I wrote in the book. And it's like, yeah, until you build your audience, you know,
yeah.
And then after you get known.
Excerpts from the book and right. Not do any more writing at all.
Right. And so once you get known, you don't have to do all that. But until you do, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of free writing.
I think even after you get known, because here's what happens with marketing. You stop. Marketing's like tossing, you probably read this metaphor in the book, it's like tossing pebbles into a lake. And you set up these ripples, right? And the ripples go out and they hit the other shore and then they start coming back to you. And pretty soon it looks to you like you don't have to do anything because these ripples are all just coming back like crazy and it doesn't look like you have to work at it anymore. But if you don't throw any more pebbles in that lake, those ripples are gonna get smaller and smaller and pretty soon fade.
Right.
So, you know, you can take a vacation, you can go to Europe for a month and probably be okay, but perseverance is the secret, even for the big guys, even for
absolutely.
The big guys.
Yeah, it's a hard, lot of hard work.
Up altogether.
No, it's a lot of hard work to get on the top, but it's even harder to stay there. So, absolutely. And I want to go back to the how much writing you have to do for free, but what you can get out of it, what you can expect to do this. And in section four of the book, you talk about writing for free or bartering and why it's a good idea. And you say about, you know, giving away articles or posts or guest posting. And you say when the article you give away appears with a tagline and a link to your website, it will add to your name recognition and your branding, help you build a platform, boost your search engine ranking, and increase traffic to your site or blog. And you give folks a hint here, too. And it says print journals often have websites. So when they publish, that'll include a link back to your site or your byline or your tagline or your the link to buy your book. And that's you get a much bigger footprint out of all of that.
It's magic. It's magic. And that brings us back to the idea that it's not really free, is it? It looks like you're not being paid for your article. And trust me, I freelance. I freelance for the retail industry. I get paid, and I get paid pretty good freelance money by the word. But I also give a lot of stuff away, and I'm not really giving it away. It looks like I'm being really generous. And I am, but at the same time, it's really a trade. It's
absolutely.
Really a trade.
Well, think of it.
I'm getting a whole lot back.
Right. The way I think of it is, how much would it cost me to buy an ad in that journal?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm still getting the link back to me for people to buy things, but I'm able to, instead of just some little ad, like I'm selling something to you, I get to give you something of value or build my expertise in your mind, and I still get the link.
You're getting the link. You're getting a little bit about your title. Usually, it'll say at the very minimum, even in a newspaper, even for things that you're being paid for, there will be a little credit line at the bottom, and it might only be one line, but it will say something like Carolyn Howard Johnson is also the author of award-winning poetry and the well-known novel This Is the Place.
Right, and that's something that you detail out in the Frugal Book Promoter is. Especially things like guest posting and doing for these journals is how to submit a resource box with your article and include your book and list of resources, and you detail that out for folks how to do that.
Right. And that credit line. You know, they might not, whoever you give it to or sell it to may not use it the same way that you have included it with the article that you're submitting. That's up to them. Mm-hmm. But you're more likely to get what you want out of it if you include it. Plus, you come off as more of a professional. You're going to make them go out and write it themselves.
Right.
Excuse me. Make it as easy for that editor, whoever they may be, as possible. And that includes giving it a title, giving it the byline, and giving it the credit line, so that when they get it in their email, they just could copy and paste. There's 50 people they're going to love you for. They're going to come back for more of that. They might even choose you over somebody who has, frankly, more valuable material.
Because you made it easy. Right. And I want to talk about that because you detail out, and we're only going to list just a little bitty short snippet here of what you have, but in the Frugal Book Promoter, you have details on all of this information about what needs to be on your website and what can be there. And some of the things that you list a contact link, of course. I love that you put that at the top because so many people forget it. The media room, media releases, special giveaways, awards, endorsements, reviews. So there are a lot of different things that you need to have on your website. But to the point of what you were saying is making it easy on folks. The media room, where they can grab a snapshot of you, any kind of bio information that they need, and making it easy for folks is really, really important. And you can send them the link to that, or you already have all of that material gathered. You may put it in a PDF and send it to them that way, or in a doc file and send it to them that way. But the point is making it easy for them, right?
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned media releases. I mean media kits. I'm huge on media kits. So many authors don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
That you may not have gotten to that chapter. It's a really long one, and it's very detailed. It gives people information exactly how to do a media kit.
Right.
But I believe in double dutying, if that's a word, a media kit. They are a wonderful way to keep track of all of the marketing things that you're doing and that you have. So I go back to my media kit at least daily to pick up, I don't know, anything from a bio that I've already gotten written. Why would I want to write it another, you know, start afresh? I've got it done. To checking to see where my poems were published in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
When I need the names of several places, prominent places where my poems have been published, that kind of thing. I use it daily for research on myself. What many people who start out writing, and this would include people who are in business and writing business books, don't realize is that they will get so well known and so in their field that they will, and they will do so much that they will forget much of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And without that record, and I only have that because of my experience as a publicist in my younger days. I never would have dawned on me to do that for a book.
Right.
But I just did it because it was something that I already knew. But that I have that is this huge, it's just a wonderful resource for keeping up with stuff that I need. But one other more important aspect, and that is inspiration. I go back and I look at what I've done, and it keeps me from getting depressed, because we all do that. We look
and it's
what
the truth.
We're doing, and we think, oh, I'm not getting anywhere, and it's so slow, and you know, it's like, no, look at this. If I'd looked at where I couldn't even imagine being where I am now when I
mm-hmm.
started.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But I'm not going to know that unless I have a trail.
Right.
So that media kit will give you that trail.
Right. And the other thing that you say in The Frugal Book Promoter is, and literally I'm going to quote you on this, no matter where you are in the publishing process, now is a good time to set up a website. And this is one of those reasons. And so you're documenting that trail.
Yeah, it becomes a document, and it's exactly that. It's like a resume,
mm-hmm.
but a lot more than a resume. It's a lot easier when you sit down to write a resume to know. Most of us don't have, you know, 800.
Mm-hmm.
If we did, we wouldn't be able to remember all those either. But we could easily end up with 800 places that we published,
mm-hmm.
magazines, journals, you know, whatever. So it gives you that information at your fingertips.
Right. And one of the things that you can do on a website is, and you say this, is to invite editors to visit your site in search of your free material for their journals, their things, you know, to get samples of your work and see if any of those are good for them, you know, to republish or have you guest post on or things that you talk about, topics that you talk about. And, you know, with sites like WordPress, you can set up a category, and literally people can subscribe to that category. So anytime that you have something new on there that falls into that, like articles that you've published elsewhere and that sort of thing, you know, they get notification of that. And I think that's really, really, really powerful to have a full list of where you've been seen.
Absolutely. And you know, that brings us to the pure power of the web, the reach that it gives us in terms of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So today, it used to be that you really had to be an expert to get any decent coverage from the media.
Mm-hmm.
With the web, yeah, there's some learning to do, but it's just so interactive and so connected, and the reach goes so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we can target it. So one of the things that I'm doing this very week is trying to learn Google's AdWords.
Oh yeah.
And I put it off for a long time because I knew it was going to be a pain. But
yes.
But for one thing, Google has been wonderful in providing free. At first, I thought that he was trying to, call me to sell me some additional services. I couldn't believe it was free. They help you understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving my newsletter subscribers about blow by blow a trail of what I'm doing so that they can better judge whether that's something that they want to do themselves. So there's a little report in each newsletter about what I've learned about AdWords and how I think it will work for some authors, not for others, et cetera. By the way, that's called Sharing with Writers. And anyone who wants to subscribe just sends me an email to hojonews@aol.com, and I'll subscribe for you. And although it is tailored primarily to writers, there's also just a lot of general marketing stuff, like I did
mm-hmm.
an article on how on stuff we can learn from Taylor Swift's marketing expertise.
Right.
So that can certainly apply to retailers or therapists or health professionals or anybody.
Right. And newsletters is something you cover in the Frugal Book Promoter too. And about
oh,
I know
yeah.
how powerful they are, because yours scares me. I mean, every time you mention me in it, I get a huge spike on my site for traffic, and people come in and I get clients and that sort of thing. And that's how powerful newsletters can be. So if you get well established, and you have an audience, then you can even charge for ads in your newsletter if you wanted to
you
go
can.
That route. But sometimes it's a lot better to, like you said, do it for free, to be able to share the love with other people who help promote you as well.
Yeah. And you know, we say free. And I just read something from one of the marketing gurus that I subscribe to, because we can never know enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that when we give away newsletters, we really aren't giving them away for free either. When somebody opts into our newsletter, I try to keep this to a very, very minimum. But as an example, I did just send a separate newsletter out to my newsletter audience, saying that I was doing this bonus promotion for the Kindle launch of the Frugal Book Promoter, because the second edition hasn't been out very long.
Mm-hmm.
So you've really given permission to occasionally get some promotions from that same author.
Exactly. And
it's a wonderful trade-off. You know, you learn from me, and I maybe sometimes will even ask you to do something like, go to my sales page on Amazon and like my Kindle book, The Frugal Book Promoter.
Right.
So that it doesn't look lonely on that page. It doesn't want to look lonely. It wants to look like a lot of people like it.
And for folks that's great.
That's okay. They give back in return. And and if they've been listening to my mantra, they'll want to give back in return, because they know that it benefits them in the long run.
Right. And for folks who have a product, you know, your newsletters is more or less just that, news and sharing of information. But for folks who don't have a product, the money is in the list. I mean, that's really
Absolutely.
What they're doing, is if they have webinars, seminars, you know, different things that they're doing, services that they have, or if they're partnering with other people, then honestly, that's their email list is absolute gold.
I don't know how many pages I give over to contact lists, but
mm-hmm.
contact lists includes media lists, it includes your personal list, it includes online lists. It is gold, and it is absolutely at the root of the success of your entire business. When we closed our last retail store, we had a list of 35,000 people, and this was pre-web days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we sent out catalogs every year. It allowed us to have six stores instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the importance of that list. And that catalog was one of the most important things that we ever did in terms of growing our business. If for no other reason, and there were a lot of other reasons, but if for no other reason, though, I came to understand literally the power of those lists.
Absolutely. And they are absolute gold. To be able to constantly put yourself and your offerings and your expertise and whatever it is constantly in front of people, because you can't guarantee they're going to come back to your blog. You can't guarantee they're going to see your listing on, Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But people do read their emails. And you're guaranteed that they're going to...
If they don't open the email, they at least see it in their boxes.
That's what I'm saying. You're constantly in front of them.
Yeah, exactly. We used to have a lot of meetings with our employees, and I'm sure that we gave over at least a quarter of our time, every single meeting, to encouraging our employees to get names on the sign-in booklet at the checkout stand.
Mm-hmm.
My husband at one time took a $20 bill, and that case, in those days it was like more like a $100 bill,
uh-huh.
and burned it and said, every time you don't get a name, you did this.
Wow.
And when you did this, that meant that our store isn't successful and your bonuses aren't as big.
You know, the one thing that I sometimes have trouble convincing, and I don't try to convince people. My customers come to me because they understand the value of needing a website that's successful. Not just having a website, but having a successful website, and that you have to invest a little more in yourself, in your education, in your knowledge of how online marketing works to be able to have a successful website. But I do have a few retail clients that they didn't have a website, and it was impossible for them to see the money they were losing. And I told one of them, I said, I'll give you...
You don't know what you're losing if you don't have it in front of you, right?
That's it. And so one of them's, we want to do one, man. We really do, but we don't have time. And they kept telling me, well, I need pictures of the place and blah, and we just haven't gotten to do this, and I'd have to go do that. And so one day, this has been going on for almost a year. And so the next time I saw them, said, we really want to do that. I mean, we mean it. We really want to do it. And I said, what, and it was on a Monday or Tuesday, and I said, what if I gave you $5,000 right now to finish this website by this weekend? And the catch is, in 6 months, you give me back all of the money that website brought in. I'm going to come out ahead. Because, and their eyes just popped, you know, and now they have they're sending me the pictures, they're making an appointment, because they really could not envision how much money they were losing by not having the website and yet complaining that they were slow on business. And it's like...
You know, it's funny because my agent said to me, you know, I'll bet your reach, meaning, you know, your marketing reach or the people who know you or trust you is in the millions.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed at her. I mean, I laughed at her. And then I got to thinking and I thought, you know, I have no idea what the web can do in terms of total reach. One thing, I don't track numbers like I should.
Right.
But in addition to that, there's all of these unknowns. You have no idea what that web can do for you.
Well, I can give you some inkling with numbers because I do track my numbers. And I know when you mention me, because I have this little Mount Everest spike in my analytics, and I'm just sitting there going, what happened? And I'll go back and look and see that it was something. I'll look at my referrals, and they're coming from you. And it really makes a lot. And that's just a small percentage of your readership, the ones who are interested in wanting to learn something about websites, you know, and how they can improve it.
Right. It'll just be somebody interested in websites, or it'll just be my Facebook.
Right.
Or it'll just be my newsletter.
Right.
It's not like I've done a whole campaign for you.
Yeah, and that's just a fraction of your readers, because it's only the people who are interested in that particular thing that moment.
I love to hear that, and I admit it, but here's the reason that I love it. It's about heart. It's about that means that somebody out there trusts me, and if somebody out there trusts me, then what I've been doing has been worthwhile to me, because to be honest with you, poetry and fiction are my first loves, but I do and it's not that I don't adore the marketing, but I could spend all my time just doing my own marketing. I don't have to write books to help other authors. I do that because I can see there is such a great need for it. So when I hear that, it just makes me feel bloody good, you know?
Yeah. I want to ask you about one other little thing there with branding, because your book is full of this kind of thing, just little tips that if you do, it'll make all the world of difference. And that is direct emails and your email signature.
Oh, yeah. You know, that goes out every single time. I mean, I don't know how other people's online experience is, but I do know that you're online more and more the more active you are in your business. And every time you send out an email, that's a chance for a little freebie ad. And people aren't using it. But more than that, I can't count how many times people will send me something, maybe something from my newsletter. They want me to put it in my newsletter, and they don't have a signature. So they sign it, "Love Deb." Well, I do know Deb, but I don't know how she wants to be listed in credit. I have her email address, but I don't like to include an email address. I'd rather use a web address. I don't have a web address. And, you know, I get 300-400, sometimes 600 emails in my email box a day. I do have time to copy and paste and then edit her contribution to my newsletter. And that's part of what makes the newsletter good, is that it's interactive and other people give me input. But I don't have time to go back and research it.
Well, and that goes back to what you were saying.
When I don't even have time to send her a letter and say, you know, send it back to me again and give me, you know, and give me your credit line. Give me your email signature.
Well,
I just don't have time.
Right. And that goes back to what you were saying about make it easy on people.
Yeah.
Because you become their favored person to do things with, because you're making it so easy on them. And, you know, Carolyn, we might want to think about getting you a contact form where these required fields. So when people are going to submit things to your newsletter, they have to fill out this form.
I could put that at the bottom of my newsletter, but then nobody would read it anyway.
That's right. That's the truth. They're going to do what's easy on them, and they forget their job is to make it easy on you, because you're doing them the favor of this free advertising, literally.
Yeah, but, you know, you multiply that however many times they send an email that day.
Right. There's a way in most email client programs to be able to have two or three different signatures. So a couple of ways that you can do that is to put something in there by default, that it's in there every time. You don't have to go click something to put a signature in. But one of the things I like to do, I don't do that, and one of the things I like to do is have different signatures, because I send to different folks. So if I'm having a correspondence with you about your website, I don't need to sell you something. But if it's another professional colleague that I'm doing something with where I am sending them things, then I do want to put the full thing in. Or if it's somebody that I haven't developed a relationship with, I definitely want to put all of that stuff in there.
And then I occasionally, when I'm sending something out to a general reader of poetry or fiction, I'll just delete the, you know, delete the signature and replace it with one of the other signatures that's in my program. And it just takes an extra couple clicks to jiggle that. And your method works perfectly for people who are really shy about broadcasting their own expertise. I'd like them to get over that. And I hope that's not really the reason that you do that, but it does work well for the shy among us.
Yeah, and it's not being shy. I just, you know, for folks that I'm just having a dialogue I see what you're saying. And they don't want to feel like they're marketing themselves. And it's like, you don't understand marketing them, because I think for some folks, Carolyn, honestly, they have to have a serious look at why they're doing what they're doing. And for some folks, it's vanity publishing. They just want a book in print. And they're not really into marketing and selling and being a number one author kind of, they just really wanted to see their words in print. And I understand that. And I think that's a good place to start. But if you want to make a living at something, you have to sell it. Whatever it is, it involves sales at some point, and that involves marketing. It's a numbers game, and if you only make 10 sales, you cannot live off of that. You have to make hundreds, and that comes down to letting more and more people know about it. And the bottom line is, are you in business, or do you have a hobby?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the other thing is that if you just can't get over the idea that it's sales and that you've got the wrong idea what sales are,
mm-hmm.
Then you can easily just forget the numbers. Just mm-hmm. you know, don't check your book sales on Amazon every day,
mm-hmm.
because if you do, you might get discouraged. You might say, oh, it doesn't look like I sold any books today, and then I didn't mm-hmm. sell any books tomorrow, and pretty soon, oh, this isn't working, and then you drop it. No. You're after building a career. You're after building a business.
Mm-hmm.
So the stats are important for a lot of people. And I don't discourage people who are interested in stats, but you can also waste a lot of time chasing down stats.
Time
that could be better spent actually chasing down a better business. So you keep at it, and when you look, what you're really looking to do is to see what you do that's more successful than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I also encourage people when they do that, maybe not to drop entirely the things that they've been working on that they think isn't working at all, just diminishing a little bit and bring something else in, but to drop something entirely. Like I have a friend who just dropped a very successful blog, and it broke my heart because I know what his following was for some of the same reasons that you were talking about, in terms of seeing a big blip on your stats. When I mention you, I know how successful his blog is,
mm-hmm.
but he's decided to drop it. Well, he could easily just have dropped back, or used more guests to post instead
mm-hmm.
of so many of ones that he writes himself. There were a lot of ways to diminish the work of the blog without just dropping it.
Right.
I think that's a mistake, because you don't know how many people who have signed up on that blog. That's the only way they're going to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take your newsletter. They haven't bought your book yet. They don't come into your store yet. They haven't ordered from you online yet. Now you've lost somebody who showed an interest in you by subscribing to your blog, and you're dropping it?
I want to talk about that too, expectations and getting them in line with reality. One of my other favorite podcasts has been Blogcast FM. And the reason that I went back, once I found it, I went back and looked at downloaded all of the archives, all of them. I've listened to every show that has ever been published. And the reason why is because, Shrini, the host, brought on people from all over the blog sphere, all the different reasons people blog. And right now he's kind of on a track with bringing on bloggers who've turned to be professional authors at this point and how they got a book deal. So he's really had a long track with that recently. But before, it was people from every kind of where. And one of the reasons that I was so fascinated with this show is all the different ways people got into blogging and all the different ways they became successful and how one technique works for one that falls flat with another. But to the point, how many of these people who are making six figures now, who are huge, who are really big, had 4 or 5 years at it before they hit that? And how many times they failed completely? I mean, not a little failure. I mean, fall flat in the dirt, it's over failures before
sure.
they got to where they are. And that kind of persistence and keeping at it. And I remember, and I don't know if it was you. It might have been someone else that I was speaking with, that an author – first-time author, never published anywhere, wrote this beautiful article, in their minds, beautiful article, and submitted it to the New Yorker, and they rejected it, and he quit writing. He said, you know, if I can't get it published there, then I quit. And I'm just, for me, I'm sitting there going, that was your expectation right out of the gate, you get published in the New Yorker. Really? And
yeah.
If you can't do that, you're not interested in doing anything with writing.
You're not in touch with reality.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's that sort of thing of I'm going to spend what I see on my side of it for website things is people who want to spend $900 or more, $2,000 on a beautiful, gorgeous website. They won't spend a dime on content. They won't spend a minute or a dime learning how to write content that converts. And it's like having this gorgeous, beautiful frame that you pay thousands of dollars for and then put a kindergarten drawing in it. And, you know, so I think expectations really have to come into it. And what you said about being discouraged and not looking at stats, that it's going to take you a while, even when you know what you're doing, even if your site, everything about it is set up perfectly, it's still going to take you 6 months to start seeing anything back from it. And what you say in the Frugal Book Promoter about it's never too early to start a website, no matter where you are, you need to start because it's going to take a while for you to get established. It's going to take a while for you to build your audience. And some of the things we've mentioned in this podcast is just how big your audience is. You didn't start there on day one.
Well, you know, there's a new book out. I think it's Malcolm Gladwell's most recent book, and he says it takes that all these overnight successes took 10 years.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there is an occasional true overnight success, but don't believe it. Who's the author? I can't remember her name right now. That wrote the something Bones. Anyway, it was made into a movie. It was a very successful literary novel, and everybody said, "Oh, overnight success!" You know, her first book made into a movie. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, it wasn't her first book. She'd been writing for years and years and years. Short stories, novels. Some of them hadn't been published. You know, a real story of people hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the person that you mentioned who wrote an essay and sent it into the New Yorker, I can bet that in his day job, he often doesn't even look at the material or the proposals or whatever it is he does in his day job of people he doesn't know.
Yeah,
he'll pass over them. His business will go to people he's already familiar with and already has a loyalty to. Well, don't think that doesn't happen in the publishing industry. So the author of the job of an author, just like the job of anybody in any business, is to build that footprint or that platform so that they are known.
Right, and that's why, you know, a website is so critical to an author's life now because even if you do go the traditional publishing route, a publisher's going to be a lot more interested in you if you already have a platform. I know I've got one right now that they came to me. They said, we want you to do a book, and it's at the level of, for what it is, and I can't give it away yet, but it's at the level of Harlequin coming to you to say, would you write a romance novel?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, and the reason they're doing that is because they see I'm a published author. They also see that I have a platform for it, that I know how to build audience, that I know how to do my marketing, and they came to me for that. So, and
well,
that's
what happens. It starts coming back to you easily, but it wasn't really easily. You put
no
blood, sweat, and tears into your career, and it only appears easy at this point.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, the sacrifices you have to make it work, and that really is what separates successful people from none, is all of maybe the first time out you failed, but everything you learned goes into the next time. And if you just keep at it, I mean, it's not like BlogAid doesn't have competition. It does. But over time, I'm watching them fall because they can't keep at it. They can't take that long-haul approach with how long it takes to really build the business, the audience, and that kind of thing. And they have to move on to do something else because their goal is to be profitable immediately. And you ran retail stores. You know what kind of deep pockets you have to have for that sort of thing to be successful at it.
Well, you sure have to be willing to make some money. And of course, one of the biggest problems with people who are entrepreneurs is they often go into it underfunded.
Yes.
So yeah, we saved our little fannies off until we had a nest egg that would support our first 2 years of business. And that included marketing, you know. Absolutely.
Well, and another thing about that, of walking into something that we touched on with the Blogcast FM thing, is people blogging a book. And after a while, blogging is great for building up your voice, for learning how to write, to learn how to write copy, to learn about the marketing. But you can eventually blog yourself into a book.
Yeah, that's one of the things I said. Phyllis Zimbler Miller and I have a website that she built that's wonderful. It's called kitchenmarketing.com. And there's a first chapter of a book that we were originally going to do together that didn't quite come about. That it's about how fiction writers can use blogs.
Mm-hmm.
The things that they can write about, how they can make them work for them. And if they go on to fictionmarketing.com, they can easily download that chapter, and it's got really practical suggestions for romance writers, for different kinds of writers, for authors in general. Practically everything an author needs to know to make a blog successful.
And you go into that in depth in the Frugal Book Promoter about blogging and how you can, after a while, you may have enough on topics to be able to collect them together and literally make an ebook out of them.
Uh-huh. And that would be true. That would be true of poetry. To write a poem a week for a blog. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can do it. And pretty soon you've got a chapbook or a whole book of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And plus you've been able to work and rework. One of the things you do need to watch, though, is that some traditional publishers consider that published if it's been on a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want a book that's been pre-published.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that would be true of articles. They mm-hmm. want first-time rights on it, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. But if you've decided to do it on your own, then what a great way to both be building a platform and a following and a new book.
Absolutely, and people may think that sounds crazy. I remember when Darren Rouse, who is the pro blogger, he runs pro blogger site, and he didn't have a product of his own. He had this huge audience, didn't have a product of his own, and he was an affiliate marketer, and he had a job board. That's how he actually got started, was with a job board. And so finally he did this challenge, and it's like 31 days to a better blog. And he had people sign up for it, and every day he would email them something to do on their blog for 31 days. And he had a forum where people could talk about it. And at the end of that time, I guess it was about a month later, his partner said, you need to make this a book. And he thought, that's whack. I just gave it all away. It's all there for free. People just have to go in and look at it, and there it is for free. Nobody's going to buy something that they can just go look at on the blog for free. He's still selling that book. He was shocked that would happen, but people want the whole shebang right there. They're lazy. They're not lazy. They're busy. Well, some are lazy, but for the most part, folks are busy. They're not going to go back through all of these posts and do that every day for 31 days to get the information. They want the book. And the next year he ran another challenge, or maybe it was 2 years, he ran another challenge, did the same thing at the end of it, sold the book, and they're still selling.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's absolutely possible to publish it first and still sell it.
It does happen if the traditional publishers are in it to make money too.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously if you're super successful at it, suddenly all of their rules they're not paying any attention to their own rules. If it can mean that they make a big profit on you,
mm-hmm.
that's their primary concern. But for most of us, if it's been published, then we can't sell first rights. So,
mm-hmm.
That can make a difference, and you at least need to be aware of that. It's kind of disappointing to try to sell a really wonderful article that you've done to a trade magazine when they want first rights, and they say, "Well, we can't run it." What I do is I say, "I'll be happy to rewrite it for you."
Right.
So there are ways around that too. You know, it doesn't right. take too much. You need to change. You need, it's like doing a complete re-edit and adding a new opening and maybe a new close or something. It becomes a new article. But, I'm a big one for recycling just about anything I do.
Oh, and so, you've got a lot of information about that in the book too.
Yeah, I want everybody to recycle because you just can't do all of the writing you need to do, all of the marketing you can, if you're starting out fresh every time, which is one reason I mentioned the media kit as a way to copy and paste every time mm-hmm. you need information, you know, a lot of different kinds of information. You shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel every time, and computers make it so easy not to have to do that.
And that's the truth. In your book, makes it real easy to follow those steps and set up that organizational structure and some of the things that you might want to do to be more productive. And all these tips and tricks that you have gathered over time that have made you more successful, they're in that book, and that's what I really appreciate about it, too, is you're very generous in the way you share those things.
Well, you know, there's really no reason not to be. With all my marketing experience, one of the major tenets I've learned is that competition is not the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in this together. I often even recommend other books on book promoting, other books on editing by the Frugal Editor, other retail books. Anyone out there who wants to learn more about their business, books are one of the most frugal ways to do it, and I certainly don't think they should read only one.
Right, absolutely.
I hope that mine will be one of them.
Definitely.
I certainly have no qualms at all about recommending someone else's book. On the very same subject, there will be different kinds of inspiration, different kinds of details, maybe even different opinions. In that case, that's a good thing. Then people can weigh things for themselves. My books tend to give you what my experience has been and what I think is best for most authors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it does anyone any good just to give facts instead of opinions along with it.
Right.
Because most things that are covered by facts are really opinions anyway. They come from a source, and that source colors those facts. So I'm almost the one to believe that there are no such thing as true facts in the world anyway. But absolutely, share with others, spread the wealth. People notice that too. And who do they trust? The one who's close, the one who's tight, the one who doesn't share, doesn't give of themselves, doesn't care, or the one who does. I think it helps build a great brand that you're the go-to person.
Absolutely, and there's no arguing with your success.
Well, I don't know about the millions my agent was talking about. But it really thrills me when I get a letter from somebody who says I've helped them, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Carolyn, let's give folks your website address so they can go get all the, because your website is full of free information and resources as well, but we also want to give folks a way to be able to purchase your book and the links.
Yes, and my website's a really good website to look at in terms of how to set up a website, too.
Mm-hmm.
And as it happens, it was developed by Mayanna. So,
no, well, I had something to go on too. Good expertise
of my original drudgy website
right.
to sift through and try to fix. It is www.howtodoitfrugally.com.
Absolutely,
really, howtodoitfrugally.com, and there's a resource page for readers. There's tons of resources pages for writers. There are all my books on there. There's even a little travel page. Again, branding. I use travel as inspiration, so it doesn't really fit, but it makes me into a person as opposed to an automaton.
Right.
So a little travel page with some of the poems that I've written when I travel. I think it's a wonderful site, and the blog that you probably would be most interested in is sharingwithwriters.blogspot.com.
Great. And there's a link on there for that, too, and I'll have them in the text for the podcast as well, so all those links. And a couple of the other ones that you mentioned here, too, during the podcast, I'll have those in there as well, because I know folks are going to want those resources like your newsletter And that would just be a super gold mine all in and of itself to get them to subscribe to that.
And the Frugal Book Promoter is just loaded with resources, with specific websites, specific email addresses. And now that it's available in Kindle, those are all live.
Oh, yeah, links. Just click
right
on them and go, and that's great.
As long as I'm in that mode this month, the address for that is budearl/frugalbkpromo.kindle.
Right, and I'll have that on the, I'll put that in the text for the podcast as well, so folks can just click on the links there.
Great.
Well, Carolyn, we've just scratched the surface again. Every time I talk to you, we could go for another 2 hours. But what I'm going to suggest, folks, is that get your books and get all of this in there as well. But I had so enjoyed speaking with you.
It's been really fun. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this BlogAid podcast, and feel free to share it with your friends. Be sure to visit blogaid.net for more helpful podcasts, video tutorials, WordPress training, and site consulting. We specialize in helping non-geeks become successful site owners. You can also find BlogAid on iTunes.